this has just taught me that I have to see a problem comes my way. Okay, is this really going to break me today? Probably not. So how can I tackle this? My old self would react and be like nervous and stressed and erratic.
Right.
Now I'm just like, okay.
My name's Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
This Women in Tech road trip is powered by Kia Niro Touring. Yes, Kia provided us the most fuel-efficient, comfortable car to be our mobile podcasting studio as we drive state to state, Los Angeles to New York, celebrating Women in Tech, featuring them on the Women in Tech podcast. First of all, it has cooled seats. It has the most silent AC. You can't even hear it. I leave it on low during the interviews and it is perfect. No disruption at all. You have fuel efficiency because it's hybrid. It comfortably stores all of our stuff. And there's three of us in this car with a ton of backpacks and mic gear and video gear. The Kia Niro Touring is phenomenal. Simply could not be possible without Kia. A huge thank you. Enjoy the Women in Tech road trip series. Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. I am in Toronto, Canada, Workplace One, and I am so excited to have Natasha on. First of all, she is just such a great supporter of Women in Tech. She's been so flexible today as we've been doing our interviews, and I think that tells me so much about just who she is and how she wants to support and collaborate with the community. Welcome, Natasha.
Thank you. And thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. Okay, so Natasha, go ahead and formally introduce yourself to everybody and tell us a little bit about what you do.
Sure. So my name's obviously Natasha Varma. I am the co-founder of Vondry. So we are a technology company that is bringing technology to the very archaic dry cleaning and laundry industry, hence the name that kind of rings with laundry. And so, yeah, that's what we do. And we're based in Toronto, right downtown, and we're basically bringing technology and logistics to make it more convenient for people to handle an everyday aspect of their lives.
And wait, okay, so how long have you guys existed?
So the idea was conceived last year, but I'd say we've been generating revenue and been more like a real company in the last 8 months.
And why this business? Are you really passionate about doing laundry?
Absolutely not. So I think I started the business more because I hate it. And I've been a corporate professional for years prior to going on in my own business.
Yeah.
And when I was kind of interviewing the startup scene, I tripped on this idea because I was like, whenever my husband also is kind of fintech and in the banking space of things. And so I was like, why is our dry cleaning always in the trunk? Why is it so inconvenient to handle this? And why are there like 100 other startups doing food delivery? Why isn't clothing care moving with the times? They close before most people come home from work. And so it was more of a pain point that we felt. And we were like, how cool would it be if through the tap of a button from your home, you could have, you know, your clothes picked up and delivered and taken care of on your behalf.
Yeah, I'd like everything picked up and delivered. It's so funny. My roommate sometimes makes fun of me. He's like, man, did you just have someone come to the house to like wash your car? I'm like, yep. He's like, did you just have someone come to the house to like, da-da-da? I'm like, yep. I was like, man, I'm a female founder. I don't have time to be driving around the city taking care of my errands. I need my errands to be taken care of where I am.
Exactly. You get it.
Yeah, I totally get it. I'm all about those things. So when did you first fall in love with technology?
So after my MBA, I was previously, prior to that, I should say, I was in the finance space, and I was never really very into it in the sense I was just like, what is the industry of the future? You know, how can I make more of an impact and do things that matter to me every day as opposed to crunching numbers for things that I'm maybe not as passionate about? And so I worked in tech sales for a large technology company for the past couple years before doing this. And I just loved the vibe of technology. I loved that you could just be who you are. There's not as much bureaucracy. It's not, you know, really stiff. And
right.
And technology is ultimately just who we are in today's day and age.
Yeah.
And bringing, you know, day-to-day operations and businesses into an age where we can interact with it in a much yeah. more convenient way.
Yeah.
And so I love it.
And was it daunting? This is the first company that you founded, right?
Yes.
So was it daunting? Were you scared?
Yes, I would say so. So I should also mention that my husband is also the co-founder of this company, even though he has a fintech background, which is very different to
yeah.
like bringing technology to consumer services.
Right.
But it was definitely scary. I think for someone who has always been corporate and commanded good salaries and has an MBA, there's that sense of entitlement and you're like, I should do this and I shouldn't do that. And I think when you start a company, you automatically have to leave that mindset behind.
Right.
Because you just have to do everything. And I think you appreciate things a lot differently once you do it. And
right.
so, I think it's probably one of the most challenging things I've taken on. And even there are some days today that, like, even though we're like well into this journey, there's still days where it feels really kind of challenging or like, how am I going to do this or
right.
what's next? But you also learn so much along the way. And I think, you know, it's always a good time to kind of start on something.
Totally. Your husband's your co-founder.
Mm-hmm.
Walk us through that. I've heard that actually a few times today. And yay or nay?
I would say yay because I don't think I would do this if it wasn't for him. He has experience of founding something, an app for the city. So
yeah.
very different, but still kind of very entrepreneurial and as a total self-starter. And even
yeah.
though he's still engaged in the corporate space, he's self-employed. So I think for me, a lot of that kind of inherent risk of like, you know, starting a company, how will it work? I think just having him there for me, it felt like, oh, I can do this. And like, I know that I have the backbone to be able to at least know that I'm not going to be totally lost.
Yeah.
So I would definitely say it's been a great thing. And we were newly married when we started this. So it's
why?
So
that's very risky.
Yeah. So like new in like life, marriage,
yeah.
and new in like business.
You guys are like, just dive in.
Yeah. So basically we're married in every way. And I think,
yeah.
I know a lot, we also get told a lot that, oh my God, you're working with your spouse. And I think, you know, there are some challenges and sometimes you have no filter because it's your spouse and
yeah.
like, you probably won't handle things the same way you would if it was a co-founder that wasn't married
yeah,
to you.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I also think it's great because it's super transparent and they say founders and tech people are working all the time. And in a way, maybe we are, because even if we're having dinner, chances are we're talking about this. So
yeah.
maybe it eats at our personal time, but it's kind of fun to be on the journey together. And I think otherwise, for a lot of founders whose family is not engaged in it, they don't really get how difficult it can be. And
right.
so I think having that support at home for me has been a blessing.
And how do you, I mean, this is great insight. Like, how do you balance being a wife and being a co-founder? Where are the boundaries? Do you guys have a certain format or framework in place in order to have both a healthy marriage and healthy company?
Yes. And I think a lot of that is me kind of telling him, his name's Harsha, we also rhyme, but like, I'm like, you know, I think it's time we stop talking about work. Like, we'll be out for a picnic or out somewhere and I'll be like, let's not talk about work right now. So, you know, invariably we'll discuss other things, but I think we definitely try to make time to not, you know, constantly be working for the business. But I think it's also nice that we have that flexibility, because I guess many people will say that starting a business is kind of it's your life is your business in,
yeah.
in a way. And like, you do have to find a way to have it weave in and out. Like, you can't truly switch out. Like, if I have a customer, since we are service level
yeah.
business, if there's a customer request or question and, you know, one of my associates can't tend to it,
yeah.
I will jump on it just
yeah.
because I want to make sure I'm building the best
totally.
Brand. And so I think it's hard to really draw a line, but I think, you know, you do have to take time to be like, and I'm normally the cop who's like, let's not talk work now.
Yeah. It's so important. And so where's the company today? Because you said you're profitable now, which is a really big deal. So how did you get your first customers and where is the company today?
Our first few customers, so we started very basic and like we started with like actually physical flyers. Today we do a lot more digital marketing and are more online because I guess to consumers, we are a dry cleaner or a laundromat, if that's what you say. But yeah. Effectively, we're an online business. We're a tech business. We have an iPhone app and we have a website, which is also currently going reconstruction. And yeah. So it's everything we do is technology is crucial to like yeah. making that experience worthwhile that someone yeah. chooses us over walking down the street.
Wait, do you partner with local places or do you have your own facility?
So we partner with local vendors that we vet and that, you know, kind of provide the service on our behalf.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, to the customer, we do everything.
Got it. So you're kind of like, what's it, white labeling?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's effectively what we do. So we do the technology aspect of it and the logistics. So we have to move things around. But apart from that, I mean, coming back to your question about our, you know, we started with literally one customer and it happened to be someone who lived in our building. And over time now we've amassed a fair amount of customers and we use, like I said, we're mostly using digital marketing. We're also trying to be more present in like workshops or events or like yeah. just being part of, it's a very local business in yeah. a sense and just being present. And, you know, our hope is that we can be in every city in Canada. Of course there's competition, but I'd yeah. say in a sizable, scalable way in Canada, at least that's yet to be something.
Yeah. Are you driving the cars around yourself?
We have been. I mean, we are obviously now we're at a point where we're looking for help and getting things moving
right.
with help. But
yeah.
I think it was crucial for us to be involved in doing a lot of that because ultimately, and I think a lot of people don't understand this when I was starting the business, like if you're going to found a business which is based on like moving clothes around, for example,
yeah.
if the founders are reluctant to do that or don't want to do that, how will you understand your business?
Right? Yeah.
And so you have to roll up your sleeves and do everything. And
yeah.
so you have to swallow their pride and like, I've been picking up and delivering like people's clothes forever and no one would ever guess that like I was like in yeah. corporate tech sales.
Yeah, totally. That's so funny. It's funny. We are like tech, the organization that I run in Los Angeles. People don't know that I created it. And I'm like, well, it's about community. It's not about the creator. They're like, if I knew the girl who created it is in the chat groups all the time, that would be amazing. And I'm like, okay, maybe I should say it more. But yeah, it's funny. It's like when we're just trying to get it done, it's not about being a founder. It's about getting the job done.
Exactly. And,
yeah.
and that's what we do. And we want to make sure we understand all the pain points and the issues with doing it
yeah.
before we start having other people doing it. And, you know, we want to limit any kind of room for error.
Totally.
There's a lot of different places there can be mistakes in a
totally.
Business like this.
How do you overcome challenges?
So,
and but actually, before you even answer that, where can people look up your company right now?
So we're on Facebook as Vaundry, Instagram.
Can you spell
Twitter.
It for everybody?
Yeah, Vaundry. So it was kind of like a spin on virtual laundry, and then
yeah.
it became Vaundry. It caught on, and like the beauty is that it's
Vaundry.
Not the same name, but
yeah.
everyone kind of figures out what we do.
Yeah,
and we wanted it to be one word because you know we want to be
yeah.
that big startup. But
yeah.
yeah, so we're pretty much kind of on all the major social media channels.
Awesome.
And our website.
So yeah, how do you overcome challenges?
Well, I think probably as an entrepreneur now, grit is probably one of the most important traits. I think every day you're constantly faced with challenges. You know, you'll be interviewing someone and then they'll be like, we've had this happen. They start with you and then something comes up
yeah.
and they have to leave you. And then, you know, something else happens with something else and you're handling so many different aspects
yeah.
of the business. I think being an entrepreneur is a problem solver. And,
yeah.
and as you would know, it's challenge after challenge. And I think when you first start a business, you're like, oh my God, this is not a good business. It's not working.
Yeah.
It's just problems.
Yeah.
But that is what successful business people do. They,
yeah.
they keep solving problems. And
yeah.
so that in by no way or shape is really is saying anything about
yeah.
how your business is. And so I think as a founder, you just have to, you know, you still have to keep at it. And I think you have to have a really positive and open outlook and
yeah.
attitude towards it, because I think for me, it's changed me a lot as a person. I would probably not be as patient if I can say like, this has just taught me that I have to see a problem comes my way. Okay, is this really going to break me today? Probably not. So how can I tackle this?
And yeah.
How can I, you know, take a really level-headed approach to
completely.
It?
Completely.
And so, yeah, I don't know a day that goes by now without a problem. My old self would react and be like nervous and stressed and erratic.
Right.
Now I'm just like, okay, another one. We'll handle it. That's kind of what it
That's
is.
That's nice. It's funny. I had a product within We Are LA Tech, and in some ways it was successful. In other ways, it was successful sort of, but it wasn't sustainable. And I was talking to my roommate about it, and he said, you know, I think that in the future, you're going to look back and think that was the most useful spend to understand the dynamics of your business. And it's going to make your business profitable in the future because you spent so much time really understanding how your business works and how it impacts people and the best way to set it up. And I'd never looked at it that way before because I was like, oh my gosh, this thing that I did for 2 years didn't work out. He's like, but it totally worked out because you learned so much.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's also why we've deliberately been scaling slower. We are getting some seed funding now, but I think in the early days with a very operations heavy yeah. business, you need to understand the problems and go at it in a very small kind of like as if you were doing it for your friend
right.
service on a one-off basis. And then the moment you multiply that to 20 orders, it's
yeah.
like suddenly it's a very different dynamic.
Right.
So I think people underestimate the importance of really starting small and kind of using that whole lean startup methodology
right.
to build block by block.
Totally.
Because if we were to make this really huge tomorrow, chances are we would not be successful.
100%. I totally understand. Thank you so much for hanging out with the Women in Tech podcast. As I promised you, we have, and it's, you guys, it's actually the last one that we have on us, the Share Your Compass bracelet. It's 2115. This is 2115. And so the idea is that, and I know you know this because you've listened to this show, it's cork imported from Portugal. It was made, handmade by a female founder in Wilmington, North Carolina. And you share your story of how you got it on shareyourcompass.com. And then within 2 weeks, you give it to a woman in tech who inspires you, and then she shares her story, and then she gives it to a woman in tech who inspires her within 2 weeks, and it just keeps traveling down, and you could follow the story for 2115. Thank you so much for hanging out with the Women in Tech podcast. If you guys want to connect with more incredible women in tech, go to the Women in Tech Facebook group at womenintechvip.com. That's womenintechvip.com. Takes you straight to the Facebook group. And to say hello on socials, it's at Women in Tech Show on all social channels. And I will talk to you guys, see you guys, hear you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
This Women in Tech road trip is powered by Kia Niro Touring. We've been road tripping.
Yes.
There's three of us. We've slept in the car.
Oh my God.
Yeah. We've taken it to campsites.
Wow.
Look, it has a sunroof.
Yeah.
That is like so dope.
This, I'm not kidding. This is like really bizarre.
So dope.
Because Kia was my last stop on my car buying journey.
It's so
but
dope.
But I was blown away. And this, I'm like, the stars are aligned.
Yeah. Clearly, and the space in yeah. the back, super spacious. If I were to do a road trip again, I don't see me driving. And like the GPS working when there's no other cell reception, the heat and the cooled seats, depending on the temperature outside, just everything. This car is amazing.
This is incredible. It's so funny because we have an SUV and now yeah. I'm like, maybe we should be trading in our SUV yeah. and opting for the Niro as well. Maybe we'll go full Kia
yeah.
I mean, as a family. No, we do a lot of road tripping.
A huge thank you to Kia for powering this road trip series of the Women in Tech podcast. The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com, and just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.